by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure,
Amen. Well, that's a blessing. Thank you, ladies. Open your Bible tonight on this last Wednesday night of 2006. I hope you got your Trinity Baptist Church goals for 2007. We'll be looking at those in a little while. Put them up right now. Don't look at them while I'm preaching. Young ladies, I did like that song. That was offertory. I thought it was the Sons of the Pioneers starting out with Tumbling Tumbleweed. Some of you are looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You're asking two questions. Who are the Sons of the Pioneers? And what's Tumbling Tumbleweed? You're the misfortunate generation. That was back in the days when you had music that had a melody and lyrics that you could understand. And you could listen to it without having to go to the doctor for ear trouble, hearing problems. I believe all of this latest music, the rock and rap and all the loud stuff and the plinking and the planking and the hollering and so forth, is a conspiracy by doctors that major on the area of hearing and hearing aid manufacturers. Because I promise you, half of America is going to be having hearing aids within the next 50 years because they listen to that junk, stuff, music. I think the first two were more realistic, more honest. Have you found your place in Philippians chapter 3? I hope you've had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. I know Mrs. Smith and I surely did, and we enjoyed being with our family, and got to take my grandson quail hunting on Tuesday, and it's just a fun time, a good time. If you found your place, stand, please, and we shall read two verses for our message tonight. Verse 13 and 14, probably two of the most familiar verses of the entire book of Philippians. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject behind and forward. Behind and forward. A lot of people can't go forward because they keep looking back. A lot of people are living in yesterday on what they used to do, and they'll never have any future because they're living in the past or on what they've done already. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes on this subject, behind and forward. Behind and forward. 2006 is almost behind us. 2007 is ahead of us. We can spend our time looking at what could have been, or we can give ourselves to the future and the possibilities that are before us. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as we look at these two precious verses. What great instruction there is for us. There's great help for us. There's strength and direction for us if we'll but listen and learn. Help us never to lay aside or omit a verse because it's so popular and it's often used. We thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, if it's been used in days past to be a blessing to others, you can use it to be a blessing to us as well. So help me tonight as we look at these two verses, and may you teach us concerning those things which are behind us, and prepare us for those things which are before us. We'll thank you for what you shall do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Like the Apostle Paul, we today must never become satisfied or complacent about our service for God and His local church. I don't know of anyone who was a better Christian or did more for the cause of Christ in their lifetime than the Apostle Paul. But Paul said plainly in Scriptures, "I count not myself to have apprehended." What he meant was simply this: I've not learned all that I can learn about my Lord and His will for my life. There's still more to learn. He meant I've not done all God would have me to do for Him. There's still a lot more to be done. He's saying, I've not become as a Christian servant all that God would have me to be. There's still a lot of growing and maturing in my life. He's saying, I have not given all that I can give to my Lord. There's a lot more that I can do and I can give to Him. He's saying, I've not finished the work God's given me to do for Him. There's a lot more that I've got to be busy about. And I want to use that tonight to encourage you that we've not done all that God intends for us to do for Him as a church. I know I've not done all that God intends for me to do as His preacher and as the pastor of this church. And we're not satisfied, and we don't intend to be complacent about this. We don't intend to allow you to become complacent. And I've sent some of you thinking, well, I've got my class where I want it, I can handle it, I can enjoy it, and I'm just going to sit back and take it easy and teach what I've got. I hope that's not your attitude. If it is, you need to let somebody else take your class. I mean, all you're going to do is hurt it and kill it and hinder it. You're not going to be what you ought to be for God. I tell you, I like teachers like the other Wednesday or the other Sunday morning. Brother and Mrs. Pollock came in and said, we're shooting for 20 today. Now, they've never had 20 in their class, I don't think, on a regular Sunday. And I think they missed it by two. We was looking at the records the other day, and I think two that were in your class were in Brother Sam's class. They got mixed up. That would have been your 20. Brother Sam is rejoicing because it helped his class. But nevertheless, I love that. I love people who will set goals. People who will say there's people to be reached. There's souls to be won. I've not done all that I can do. And I want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that there's still something else to achieve. He said, this one thing I do. What he was saying was, I cannot be everything to everybody, but this one thing I do, I know what God would have me to do, and I'll strive to do it for Him. This one thing I do, I cannot fulfill everybody's expectation of me, but this one thing I do, I can be the best me for God I can be. This one thing I do, I cannot do everything in the church that needs to be done, but I can fulfill the will and the calling of God for my life. By the way, God did not call you, nor does He expect you to be involved in everything and do everything in the church. Have you ever heard the old saying? He's a jack of all trades. The rest of it is, but He's a master of none. Usually everybody that's involved or tries to be involved in everything don't do anything well because they're stretched too thin. And Baptists have the bad habit of taking the willing few and letting them get involved in everything and working them to death, and in 6 months they are so wore out they give up and never serve God again. We don't intend to do that around here. We don't allow bus workers to teach Sunday school classes or Sunday school teachers to work the bus ministry. We're trying to keep you from wearing yourself down, getting tired and getting discouraged and quit. Now, I can't do everything in the church, but I can do this. I can fulfill the will of and calling of God in my life. And there's some areas of your life that God has especially equipped you, and you need to be wise enough to invest yourself in those areas for the glory of God. I can't be the best of all the rest, but this one thing I do, I can do my best for the Lord, and that's all He requires of me. He never asked me to be better than everybody else. He just asked me to do my best and give my best. And so as a Christian, I must maintain the attitude that there's still more to learn, more to do, more like Christ can I become. And at the same time, I am to focus in on the perfect will of God, and I'm to give my energies, my efforts, and my time to fulfill the perfect will of God. You see, I'm not trying to be popular with man, but I sure do want to be pleasing to Him. And I can't be pleasing to God if I'm trying to please men. May I say to you preacher boys, if you're the type that's going to try to please men, you're going to have a lot of trouble with him. God teaches us that we're to please God and not men. We're to obey God rather than men. We're allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, and that's what we're to speak. We're not to please men, but to please God, which trieth our hearts. Now there's two things Paul emphasizes in these verses that I want to emphasize tonight in light of our coming year, 2007. First of all, in verse number 13, he says, forgetting those things which are behind. May I ask you tonight to forget your past failures, your past disappointments, your past heartaches, and even your past victories? They're in the past. I know people that are doing absolutely nothing for God today, and all they're doing is living in the past victories. They're talking about what they used to do, and they're doing nothing. I can take you to a great number of people that said, well, I went through these heartaches as a Christian, and I just couldn't understand why God would allow me to go through those heartaches, so I just quit. I've had others say, well, I was disappointed in the preacher or the deacon or this man or that woman, and I just quit church. Disappointments. Heartaches. I've had others say, well, I tried that once and it didn't work out the way I thought it ought to, so I quit. Well, so what? Has everything you've ever done succeeded? Hey, did you give up your children because you had a heartache with one of them? Hey, did you give up your marriage because you had a fuss one day? I got news for you. You better hang on. You're going to have more of those. One of the secrets of having a good marriage is learning how to have a biblical fight. And then make up. Making up's so good that if you're not careful, you'll find yourself picking those fights. But forget your failures. That's what Paul is saying, forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had been beaten, he had been in prison, he had been stoned, he had been left for dead, over and over, shipwrecked, spent nights in the deep. He had, no matter what you say you've gone through, Paul can say, I've been through more. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on until Christ said, you finished your course. I'm ready to bring you home to heaven. Oh, my soul, forget your failures. Forget your disappointments. Forget your heartaches. Don't dwell long on your victories. They're past. God would have us to enjoy and rejoice about our past victories, but they're in the past and we cannot sit still and live in the past. There's more to do in the future. God would not have us dwell on our failures, our heartaches, and our disappointments. They're in the past. If you spend time dwelling on them, you can't change them. So you just increase the hurt. Increase the heartaches. Increase the disappointment when you dwell on them. Forget them. Put them under the blood. Leave them behind and go on for God. Reach forth, the Bible says. Let me tell you, dwelling on them, you can't undo them. Oh, I wish that had never happened. Well, I've got a few things in my life like that that I wish 10,000 times had never happened. But they did. And I can't go back and undo them, and I can't redo them. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to dwell on them. I'm going to put them under the blood and claim the grace of God and the mercy of God and go on for God and press on for God and reach forward for God. That's the will of God for our life. You can't change them, so forget them. Leave them behind. You can't undo them, so forget them and leave them behind. You can't redo them. You can't redo your failures. You can't relive it and live it over. You can't relive your heartaches and make it come out right. You can't redo your disappointments and make them come out right. Yes, I wish 10,000 times some things had never happened in my life, but I can't redo them. But I can put them under the blood of Jesus. I can learn from them and go on and be better, a better servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can learn from them. You don't have to make the same mistakes again. But don't live in the past, forgetting those things which are behind. Leave them behind with God and under the blood of Jesus. And reach forth, press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The second thing Paul would have us to do is not dwell on the past. But he said, I'd have you to reach forth. Forget what's behind you. Reach forward. Press onward. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no place in our Christian life and service for God to become, our service for God, for us to become content with where we are and what we've done. There's no place for that in our life. And just stop. Well, I think I've done enough. You say, but preacher, I'm a senior saint, and I can't get out and walk up and down the streets like I used to. You know, I'm 67 years old. You know what I'm discovering? I can't see street signs at night. I'll spend 45 minutes trying to find a number on a house. I have to get up and walk up to see them, close enough to see them. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. There's just no place in our Christian life and service for God to become content and think we've done enough. Yes, there's things I can't do that I used to do. Some of you can't go like you used to go. You can't run like you used to run. Let me tell you, a saint of God that's reached those golden years ought to have more power with God in prayer than anybody else in this church. We used to have several that I knew prayed for me every day. Oh, what strength there is. Most of them have been promoted to heaven, but I've still got some that pray for me regularly, daily, and I'm grateful for them. But I want you to know this, God knows what we can do. And instead of sitting back and making an excuse and doing nothing, let's reach forth. Let's press onward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God's work is to be continually growing as we continually reach forth and keep on pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, I said it's to be continually growing. I do not mean that you should never have down Sundays. We are. But when you take the average, it ought to continually go up. That is, if we're doing what we ought to be doing. If we're just sitting and waiting for somebody else to do it, it's going to flatline and then go down. Because you never stay the same. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. You don't stay the same. We're going to have some days of down. Boy, I remember the first 3 years I was here. What a great leader. I led the church from 800 in Sunday school down to 176 in Sunday school. You talking about discouragement. You talking about wanting to die. I'm not talking about me wanting to die. I'm talking about wanting to kill somebody. Man, I had to get right with God about a wrong spirit. Had to get right with God. Instead of deacons praying for me, I had some wanting to shoot me. But I know the will of God is not for the church to die, nor is the will of God for the church to get content and set still. It's the will of God for us to keep on going and keep on growing and reaching out to people, winning people, loving people, serving people. That's God's will for our life. We're not going to get everybody we help and everybody we witness to into our church. I would say to you that Trinity Baptist Church has done as much to grow other independent Baptist churches in our area as some of them have. We don't win everybody, or everybody we win does not walk the aisle of our church. They go into some other churches. We haven't failed, but we keep on reaching out, keep on winning. And I know this, if we win enough, we're going to get some of them. If we reach out enough, if we witness enough, if we love enough, if we help enough, some of them are going to be in the pews just like you are. We just can't quit. We've got to keep reaching forth, pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ. In God, in Christ Jesus. Sunday, I told you that there's a woman here waiting when I got here asking for help. She had a note. She said, Jack Hiles told me to come and you'd help me. So help me, that's what she said. And I said, well, boy, that's amazing. I was a personal friend with Dr. Hiles, and he's been dead for about 5 years. But nevertheless, I helped her. And I thought, man, I'll never hear from her again. She called the church that afternoon. I think Brother Todd answered the phone. And she said, I just want to thank you. Tell Brother Smith thank you that he met an unbelievable need in my life. Now, we may never get her. But I know this. If we help enough people and go after enough people, God will give us some we didn't go after because we was faithful to go after and help those we didn't get. We mustn't quit. We mustn't give up. We mustn't stop. We must not get satisfied. There's needy people, hurty people, lost people, wayward people, people that don't even know they need help out there. That need somebody to love them for Christ's sake. God's work is to be continually growing as we continually reach forth and keep on pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus started out with 12 and grew to multitudes. Then he preached a hard message and multitudes left him until he had 120. He said, will you also go away? After his resurrection, on the day of the ascension, there's just 120 there left at the church. But because the multitudes left and he was left with 120, he did not forsake his purpose for the church. The apostles' ministry grew, ministries grew beginning with that 120 and grew until the Bible describes them in the New Testament as multitudes multiplied greatly. Someone has estimated that the church at Jerusalem before the persecution started could have reached as many as 100,000 people. And Jerusalem was about 200,000 at that time. The church continued to grow until persecution scattered the people abroad. And the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the Word of God. And churches were established throughout the known world. The Jerusalem church continued on in spite of persecution. And churches started by those that were scattered abroad began to spring up and grow. And then we read about one of those churches, Church at Antioch. And it sent out the first missionaries. We have the pattern for mission ministry. And the missionaries sent out from the church at Antioch carried the gospel into Asia, part of Asia Minor, and into Europe, from Europe into England. And we're here tonight as a direct result of the ministry of that Antioch church that sent out the Apostle Paul. The missions ministry of the Antioch church continued to grow, and now in our day we're reaching forth and pressing toward the mark and the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God does not intend for us to stop. In fact, He said, "Occupy till I come." And that statement, occupy, means keep doing business for God till He comes again. What's our business? Going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Our business, keep winning them, baptizing them, teaching them, and sending them out to reach others. We're to keep on doing that until Jesus comes again. Our ministry as a church is not entertainment. It's evangelism and instruction of those that we've won to Jesus Christ. We must be faithful. And that brings us to Trinity Baptist Church in the end of 2006. This last year we've enjoyed some great victories. We've enjoyed some miraculous answer to prayer. May I say to you, enjoy them between now and next Sunday night. Praise God for them. But they don't mean that there's nothing else to do. They should be used to remind us that what God did for us, He can still do it in 2007 and more if we'll be faithful to reach forth and press on toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, in 2006, we've gone through some heartaches, some failures and disappointments. Don't dwell on them. Don't dwell on them. Not one of them will help us fulfill the will of God. Not one of them will help us to attain the next victory. Not one of them will comfort the hearts of hurting people. Don't dwell on them. Leave it with God. Let's reach forth. Let's press on. Let's go on for God. Yes, and we've had some people leave us in 2006. You say, "Preacher, don't that hurt you?" Yes, it does. You don't know how much it hurts me. Let me tell you, you can't build a church with those that leave you. And if all I do is sit and dwell on it and have pity parties over it and talk about it, all I'm going to do is discourage others and do nothing for Christ myself. So forget it! They're the loser! You can't build a bus route with those that don't stick. You can't build a Sunday school class. You can't build a choir. You can't build a church ministry, a missions ministry. Forget them. Leave them with God. Don't dwell on it. They went out from us because they were not of us, the Bible says. If Jesus lost people, what right do we have to think we're better than Jesus? We're going to lose them too. So forget it. Forget it. Let me tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered churches that have problems and that dwell on those problems end up stopping their soul winning. Their mission ministry goes downhill. The people getting saved and baptized in that congregation begins to dwindle. The attendances begin to slide. And before not long, people are saying, "You remember what Trinity Baptist Church used to be?" Paul has given us the proper information. We can't change it. We can't undo it. Forget it. Forget that which is behind. Reach forth. Press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Say, "What do? I commit them to God and don't dwell on them. I don't make them the topic of my conversations. I'm not going to waste my time and my opportunities for the future dwelling on the heartaches and the failures and the disappointments in others in the past." Now, you may be so foolish to think you've got all that time to waste. I'll be 68 my birthday. I don't have all that time to waste. I know the time I've got left to serve God is short. May not be as short as some of yours, though you're much younger than I. We just don't know how long we're going to be here. But I know chances are I've got far less time ahead of me than I do behind me. So what a fool I would be to waste that time dwelling on the past, dwelling on the heartaches, dwelling on the failures. I promise you, where there's been one heartache, there's been 100 victories. Where there's been one disappointment, there's been 100 times to rejoice over what God's done in lives. Won't you dwell on those? I'm amazed at people. Jesus didn't keep everybody he reached. And yet you expect us to do it today? No, we can't. You can't. Some of you can't even keep them in your class. I'm saying, don't dwell on it. Learn from it. Move on. Put it under the blood. Leave it with Christ. And realize there's more to be done, more to be accomplished, more people to be reached. I want you to look forward to 2007. I want it to be a year of reaching forward, reaching forth and pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. We've got big goals for 2007. And we've got some big plans, and I want you to know we've got a bigger God than any of the goals or any of the plans. We need to work together to make it a big year. I want you to look at some of the goals here. We're asking God to give us 100 English-speaking men added to the church this next year. 40 Spanish men added to the Spanish department. You say, why just men? Aren't women important? Yes, they are, but it's a lot harder to reach men than it is women. And if we can get a man, we can get the family. We're asking God to give us 50 new families added to the church and 15 Spanish new families. And one thing I know, if I spend all my time talking about the 3 or 4 that left last year, we won't reach anybody next year. So forget it. We're asking God to help us to average in our attendance the first quarter, 1,250. And ask God to help us to average in our attendance the last 8 weeks of the fall campaign, 2,000 in Sunday school. We're asking God for a friend day attendance goal of 2,500 and a country fair attendance goal of 2,500. We've set a goal to see our faith promise reached $375,000. That's an increase of over $900 a week in faith promise giving. That's not including our benevolence. That's not including the bus ministry. That's not including love offerings. That's just what our people are committing to give for faith promise missions. We're asking God to let us see our bus ministry, our bus faith promise goal reach $70,000. That's an increase of $170 weekly. We're asking God to help us see our building fund goal increase to $88,400 yearly or $1,700 weekly. That's $200 more a week. Asking God to give us people out soul winning to average for the year 275 every week out knocking doors. We're asking God to give us 620 baptisms next year. We're asking God to help us start 2 new bus routes with workers in the English and 1 in the Spanish. That means we've got to have drivers. It means there's somebody in this church that's not presently serving God that can get a CDL license and be a part of that. We're asking God to see our total income increase next year to $1,664,000. That's an increase of $1,500 weekly. We're asking God to let us get that access agreement across the street and be able to pave our first strip of parking on the new property and prepare the rest for an athletic field until needed for parking. And then our plans, our goal is to strengthen our Sunday school by adding new classes and new groups. Just some goals. You see, my friend, I'm not satisfied where we are now. I know we can do more. And I know that some of you have felt like you've done enough. And you've kind of set back and you're taking it easy. But we can't set back on what's been done while there's so much more to do. The harvest must be gathered. And if you don't go and I don't go, who will? Who will? If we don't reap the harvest that's waiting out there to be gathered, the Muslims will get them. The Mormons will get them. The Jehovah's Witnesses will get them. The fields are wide unto harvest. The laborers are few. I'm not satisfied to just sit there with a few when there's people here that can enlist and become a part of our future. I'm asking you to forget that which is behind and join me tonight reaching forward, forth, and pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something about these goals. They were put together with you in mind. Part of these goals belong to you. Your names on some of them. Each one of us must get involved. One person cannot do it all. We cannot expect three or four big workers in a campaign to accomplish it all. Every one of us have got to do our best and do what we can do. And we'll be amazed at what God will allow us to do for His glory. But we must not be satisfied. We must not sit on our laurels or other things. We must get busy for God. You must get into the crowd. When I was a boy growing up and it was cotton picking time, I'd rather crawl under the wagon and get into the basket Mama had prepared for lunch and get me a biscuit that she'd put her finger in, and put a piece of butter in, then poured some molasses in it and pinched it together. We called it lasses in a hole. Now, I'd rather be under that wagon eating that lasses in the hole while the rest of them were out there working, picking cotton. But Daddy wouldn't let it work that way. And it can't work that way here. There's no place for half of the church to sit aside in an advisory capacity. This is not a government project where 10 watch while one works. All of us must get involved. You must get involved. And if all you can do is give and pray, don't make excuses that you can't do more and do nothing. Do what you can do and make it possible for others to do what you can't do. But we're all a part of the victory. Or we're all going to be a part of the failure. God help us to determine to reach forth and press forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God. If you think we've accomplished everything that God has planned for His church to accomplish in Arlington, Texas, you're fooling yourself. we've missed more, far more than we've reached. Father, burn these verses in our heart. Help us, Lord God, to determine that we're going to give our best.